Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Big day. I know it's been a big week for high school athletics here in the spring. You've got softball sectionals and track and field regionals, but a big day because some of the baseball sectionals, most of the baseball sectionals, begin today, and we'll be in Bedford tonight following the Highlanders of Floyd Central as they start their sectional tournament action with an 8 o'clock game. At least that's what it's scheduled. You know, sometimes these games get behind, but 8 o'clock is scheduled to be the first pitch. Floyd Central takes on Jennings County. Lee Kelly and I will be there for the call, and again, we'll have every Floyd Central, New Albany, and Jeffersonville game in that Bedford 4A sectional coming up not only today but Saturday, and then the championship game from Bedford on Monday as well. So we'll talk some later in the program a little bit about the sectionals this week, but make sure you're with us tonight if you want to follow along for the Highlanders in the 4A sectional. Let's look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day for IU and Southern Indiana sports, and there's a lot to get to. A couple big happenings in the Big Ten Conference that we're going to talk about. Obviously, some recruiting news this time of year, and a number of things. If you're an IU fan, maybe you're unhappy with some of the recent success to get to the tournament or in the NCAA tournament in past seasons, but there still is a great tradition and history in Bloomington, and players return to the Bloomington campus, even the NBA guys, and I'll tell you a couple things about that you may have seen, but I thought it was pretty cool, so we'll pass it along here in the first segment as well. Also, later in the program, or later, I should say, in the first segment, we'll talk about the baseball sectional, give you the pairings for tonight and for this weekend as well. We've got a couple other tidbits. Also, later in the program, Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. He's a really hot name right now, not just in local Southern Indiana basketball, but even on the IU radar. He's beginning to become a real solid Division I prospect, and he's going to join us later in the program in segment two today to update his recruiting and talk about winning a state championship and just a lot of different things, what he's up to this spring. He's had an injury that's kept him out of some action, but sounds like he's hoping to bounce back from that and be back at it on the travel basketball circuit and with his Silver Creek team in June very soon. So we'll hear from Trey Kaufman. We'll get it. Really, it's the first time he's joined us. And I think with the type of recruiting that he's having and the type of recruiting prospect that he will be over the next year or so, he'll be somebody that we want to talk to from time to time, as we did someone like Romeo or other top players. Kobe Barnes was with us from time to time to update his recruiting over the last couple of years. I think Trey will be that type of player that will become a familiar voice for us here on this program. So he's going to join us later. Also, later in the program today, Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, he's in-house with us. A lot to get to today. We'll talk a little bit more about the baseball sectionals. We'll talk some about postseason happenings and other high school sports here in Southern Indiana, and just a lot of stuff to cover with him. So busy show today. Glad you're with us. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can go to Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Great lunches. Tell them you listen to the Hoosier Report. They'll give you a dollar off your box lunch. And again, that's at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Couple Big Ten notes as we open our Hoosier Headlines segment here in this Wednesday program. This one is big and really could be devastating, I think, for Iowa. IU fans, obviously, from this past season will remember Jordan Bohannon. In both games against the Hoosiers, he had some miraculous three-point outings, including in that game at Assembly Hall, just some unbelievable shots down the stretch that eventually got the Hoosiers beat on their home court. But he is in doubt for next season. He's got an injury that's going to have to require some pretty extensive work and some shaving some bone off of his hip and a number of things it looks like that he has to go to. And the recovery time for that type of deal, 5 to 9 months. So he very possibly could miss next season, sit out as a red shirt, and come back the following year. That obviously would be a really, really big blow to the Iowa team, the Iowa program. He's an unbelievable shooter and a really solid player all the way around as well. So that's interesting when you think about and take a real early glance at the Big Ten Conference and players that are leaving for the NBA, incoming recruits that could be impact players at different schools. And then you've always got some outlying situations like an injury where someone's going to miss the season or a transfer for some reason that you weren't expecting for an underclassman. But definitely that's big Big Ten news to think about that could really change the landscape for Iowa and where they could be projected. Because you know what? In July, we'll start seeing early projections for the Big Ten Conference next season. And an injury like that can really weigh into things. Also, another Big Ten note, yesterday evening, Michigan freshman, he'll be a sophomore if he stays, but he's not going to, Ignas Brazdeikis, he announced that he's going to stay in the NBA draft. Was interesting, but not really surprising. I haven't seen on the mocks where he's expected to go, but he's someone that very likely could work his way into some sort of NBA situation, whether he's drafted out of the gate or not. But he will not come back to Michigan. And, of course, with the coaching change, that might have been a little extra oomph to say, hey, yeah, I've got some opportunities to play and get paid. I think I can do this. New coaching change, environment change. With it very likely looking like Juwan Howard has all but been officially announced as the new coach at Michigan. So that's another Big Ten note of interest as well, because IU fans very familiar with him in the outings with Michigan this year. He obviously is a serious player and was as an impact player as a freshman in the conference. Also, a recruiting note, this is a positive thing. I know Indiana fans down right now with recruiting, but Terrence Clark is rated by most as the number two player in the class of 2021. So he'll be a junior the next high school basketball season. He's already been to Bloomington at least twice. I think most recently back sometime in September, he took an unofficial visit. And he was in Indiana a few weeks ago up in Westfield outside of Indianapolis to play in the Nike EYBL when that league made its annual stop in Indianapolis. Mike Pegram, who we had on yesterday, has a story today with Clark with some really positive comments about IU and the coaching staff, and that he plans to make another visit to the school. No real timetable given. You can, again, read the story at Pegs.com. But that's a national-level player, someone that Archie Miller and the staff now for a year or almost a year have been working to build a pretty close relationship with. He's still early in his recruiting. He goes to Brewster Academy, which is a prep school that plays that traditional New England prep basketball schedule up in New Hampshire. And so we'll see. But this is the type of recruiting where you develop a relationship early. The players, ends up being a national standout in the top five, perhaps, throughout his high school career. And sometime longevity here is what it takes. There's obviously a number of factors. But interesting to see that Indiana is in there, apparently, early on with a top five player in the class of 2021. Also, people complain about IU's not getting in the tournament. Fans complain about IU's lack of NCAA tournament success. Fans already complaining about Archie Miller. Heck, I mentioned a couple times recently for a guy that's landed back-to-back Mr. Basketballs, they're complaining about missing complaining about missing 2019 recruits that Indiana has swung and missed at here over the last couple months as they try to fill some late voids in that. But so it's no surprise, or there's no, I don't think, surprise at anything nowadays when people complain. It's just part of the social media world that we live in, where everybody gets to sound off with their opinion and that sort of thing. So interesting, I think, to see, despite IU's struggles
and I think you do have to admit there have been some struggles, that the former players that have went on to play, whether it's been a Tom Crean player, whether it's somebody like Romeo, that remains to be seen, but we think that will happen, return to the campus to work out in the offseason, whether it's on the court workout, whether it's off the court workouts. And I was looking just within the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, I guess since the weekend, I've seen Troy Williams. He sent out a tweet yesterday. It was a screenshot of his cell phone, and it showed that he was talking with Coach Buckley, of course, the former Indiana assistant who was there for many, many years with Tom Crean. And the tweet from Troy Williams said, "So happy about my decision to IU to this day. I still stay in touch with all my past coaches." And then I saw that Eric Gordon was back at Assembly Hall on the court. The Indiana basketball Twitter account had a little clip of him taking some three-point shots and doing it look like a shooting workout in Assembly Hall over the weekend. And then yesterday, Indiana basketball announcing that they are going to have Victor Oladipo back in August of 2019 for what's being called the Victor Oladipo Basketball Fantasy Experience in partnership with Indiana Basketball, basically a kind of a camp-type environment for kids. And I think it, I haven't read the full release, but I think it may even be for adults as well. So my point is, some of the best that have come out of Indiana in recent years back at the campus on a regular basis, even with coaching changes, even though this may not be the administration or the coaching staff that some of these guys played under, they're back and still involved and obviously still loved. We know that by the IU fan base, but good to see that happen. And let's hope that whatever happens with Romeo Langford next month in June, that he's still back in the offseason at Assembly Hall to do some workouts with Cliff Marshall and to work out at Assembly Hall. Let's hope that he's back in New Albany showing his face at some events or at some camps with kids in the future. And I would be very surprised, obviously, if that didn't happen. But he's been a big role model for the area. And when he gets drafted and when he puts that NBA uniform on, and no matter if he plays every minute of every game or if he's a rotation player coming off the bench or if he has to find his way in the NBA, he will be a legend to many here in the area for years and years to come. And it's nice to see when those guys, those type of guys, because they don't come around too often, but it's nice to see when those type of guys return to the area. Let's take a look at sectional baseball pairings tonight. 4A in Bedford, we'll have the Floyd Central game. It's 8 o'clock. It's the second game tonight. Floyd Central takes on Seymour. I said earlier they play Jennings County. They play Seymour tonight. The first game in Bedford is Jennings County and Bedford North Lawrence. Of course, the two favorites, Bedford and Floyd Central, if they both win, or the winners of those games regardless, will play on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Then the big one on Saturday, the bye game, Jeffersonville, who finished their regular season last night. I think they've got a 19-6 record and have been playing great baseball heading into the sectional tournament coming up later this week for them. They take on rival New Albany, who I think has a very similar record, 20-6, 21-6, something like that. Very similar record, very similar success. Those two teams, somebody's going to get eliminated early in the tournament on Saturday. And then, of course, we'll have the Bedford Championship game. It's going to be either Jeffersonville or New Albany, perhaps against Floyd Central, perhaps against Bedford in the Monday Memorial Day Championship game at 1 o'clock. Also today, the 3A sectional at North Harrison, Brownstown, and Scottsburg. That's the first game. And then Silver Creek later tonight, they begin their ascent through the tournament. They take on Salem at 7:30 tonight. Of course, Silver Creek, at last report, has been battling some injuries. I spoke with one of their coaches over the weekend. I know they're hoping to get some of those players back for the sectional tournament and perhaps beyond if they can find a way to battle through at North Harrison. Then later in the week, tomorrow, Cordon takes on a very good Charlestown team, and North Harrison takes on local team Providence for us. Those are Thursday games. The winners will hook up on Friday in the semifinals, and then they'll take Saturday off and come back on Memorial Day for a noon championship game. 2A is at Lanesville, Clarksville, and Henryville, the two local teams playing there. They're going to square off against each other in the bye game on Saturday, and the championship game there will be played Monday at about 2 o'clock. Also, Class A at Shaw Memorial, Borden takes on New Washington tonight in a 6 o'clock game. Then South Central takes on Christian Academy Friday in a 5 o'clock game. Shaw Memorial gets the winner of Borden and New Washington on Friday as well. that championship game also on Monday. So Monday's a holiday. We will not have a Hoosier Report show on Monday, but we will be at Bedford for that championship game, and perhaps we'll have some call-in reports and updates from other games as well, depending on what the matchups are in those sectional championships. Monday is going to be fun. Lots of sectional baseball championships going to be handed out. Those teams get a quick turnaround. They go from a Monday championship game to a Saturday potential of playing two games in regionals across the area as well. A couple other high school notes real quick before we wrap up this first segment. Congratulations to Floyd Central softball. They beat, in an upset game last night, they beat Seymour 5-2 as they advance on in sectional play. Softball sectionals going on this week. They wrap up later in the week as well. Also last night, girls track and field, some of the regionals took place across the area. New Albany won the regional down in Evansville. It's their first regional title, track and field at New Albany on the girls' side in 38 years. A very dominant performance last night. New Albany with 84 points in the team score. Evansville Memorial was second with 78.5, and Floyd Central right behind them at third with 71 points in that team score as well. So congratulations to not only those teams, but some of the individuals as well that will advance, even if their team doesn't, to the state finals coming up next weekend. That's a look at the headlines. We will take a break and come back with Silver Creek sophomore. He'll be a junior next season, Trey Kaufman. We'll talk about his recruiting. We'll talk about the state championship. We'll talk about some family connections that he has, what he's got planned for this summer, his injury, how he's recovering from that, and a lot more coming up next. I know a lot of local people very interested in Trey Kaufman's progression and can't wait to see him play this summer and especially next high school basketball season. So we wanted to have him on and get the very latest from him as well. And we'll do that next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back and joined by somebody that is one of the hottest prospects right now, both in local basketball and even on the IU recruiting front. Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek. He is in the final days of his sophomore year. Before you know it, he'll be a junior next winter playing high school basketball here in Southern Indiana. First off, Trey, I know it's been a fun year or so for you. Your game has really developed, and along with some personal gains for you, your Silver Creek team has accomplished some amazing things, including a state championship back in late March. And that's where I want to start with you today. Talk about the experience as a young high school player, just your second year of high school eligibility, your second year playing varsity basketball for the Dragons, to be a very, very key part, a starter, and play a big role on a state championship team that brought the whole community out to support you guys. What was that like?
For me, I mean, it was amazing. I'm thinking back from my uncle's. Obviously, they were great basketball players at Silver Creek, and they were telling me before the season, you know, you could do something really special. And, you know, obviously talking with the coaches, they thought the same thing. And, you know, that was our goal the entire year to make it there and, you know, accomplish big things. For me, I'm just happy to be a part of it. I'm happy that, you know, I could and, you know, the team could bring a state championship to Sellersburg. And I'm just glad it happened at the time. You know, the time that it did, it felt right. Everything felt right. It felt, you know, I felt like we're the best team. You know, we're the best team that we've had at Silver Creek. So I felt it was good timing.
We're talking to Trey Kaufman today. You brought up a good point and something that I didn't have in my notes to ask you, but I'm going to bring it up. You mentioned your uncles playing at Silver Creek, and you had some good basketball bloodlines, but specifically, I'm not sure that a lot of people know Matt Wren, who was one of Silver Creek's all-time great players. He went on to play college basketball. That is family to you. Talk about that relationship and maybe the advice you get from a guy that was a former Dragon as well some years back.
Yeah, for him, it's more of, you know, at family reunions, or he'll call me every once in a while, but for him, it's more of, you know, the off-the-court things, you know, dealing with, you know, people asking questions, people, you know, all those things, just trying to stay humble and that kind of thing. He just says, you know, play your game. He knows that I'm working hard in the gym. You know, it runs in the family, so it's more of those kind of things. You know, he has stuff to deal with on the family side, so we don't get to talk much, but when we do, it's more about, you know, personality and how I'm handling things on the basketball court.
Absolutely. Trey Kaufman, my guest, talking about Silver Creek State Championship run, and now that is over, you're in the midst of the travel circuit, the shoe circuit, whatever you want to call it. Unfortunately, you haven't been able to play the last number of weeks because of an injury. Tell us a little bit about the injury, and I know everybody that wants to see you this summer, whether it be with Silver Creek, hopefully in June, or maybe on the AAU circuit later in July when college coaches are back out. Everybody wants to know when you'll be back on the court. What's the plan right now? What's going on with you?
So I actually fractured my right wrist. It's funny because my freshman year, I did the same thing to my left wrist, the exact same injury, and I was out for the first, you know, five or six games, something like that. And as far as the time, I'm trying to – hopefully I can be back for Chicago this weekend.
Wow.
That'd be great. Obviously, want to play with the guys. Team's great. Great group of guys. Good people. So I'm really looking forward to get back on the court with them and, you know, improve my game that way.
What are some of the things in this off season with individual instruction, with your Silver Creek team in June, with the AAU team? What are some things that you're looking to do to develop and further your game, both as a player, which is very important for perhaps a repeat in the 3A state championship next winter, and as a prospect that's really emerging on the Division I level?
So for me, like you said, I mean, it's all about development. So last year, you know, when I, you know, practiced, it was more of, you know, I was just working as hard as I could. This year, I think more of it's planned. I'm doing the right things. Right now I'm with Coach McFarland, just working on agility, movements with the ball, ball handling. You know, it's more of the guard type of stuff. I'm also going to weight training with Casey and Addison from Outlast Strength and Conditioning. And so those are my biggest things. Obviously, I'm staying, trying to get better, more in shape because of the role I'm going to have next year. But for me, it's becoming more of a three or four position, that type of player. Just making sure I can be as versatile as I can and being a matchup problem.
Talking to Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek, he will be a junior next season for the Dragons and is receiving all sorts of college attention. Let's talk about the college attention. First question surrounding that, was it a strange feeling? I guess it's probably been your freshman year, but was it a strange feeling when you heard from your first Division I school, whether it was a mailer, whether it was an opportunity that they could contact you? Was it strange to think, my goodness, I'm finally at this point in my career of something I've dreamed about, to hear from some of these schools that I've watched on TV?
Absolutely. For me, I know the work that I put in, you know, I expected it, but at the same time, when you jump from eighth grade, where I wasn't really on a travel circuit, you know, I didn't really go anywhere and play, our team was always really good, and we just stayed around here and played, to, you know, freshman year, where, you know, obviously you're going different places, you join the Adidas Gauntlet, and coaches start talking to you, just... I can't even think of the first time. I'm trying to think of what my reaction was the first time when I heard from a college coach and that they were, you know, maybe be interested in me. I mean, that's an amazing feeling to have. And it was surreal. For me, the work that I put in, I expected it, but at the same time, some of those things were you expect, but, I mean, not a lot of people get that opportunity.
Trey, talk a little bit. I mean, it's still very, very early in your recruiting and really in your career at Silver Creek as well, but talk a little bit about some of the recruiting experiences that you've had so far. And I don't expect you to recall everything right now off the top of your head, but maybe obviously some of the schools you've heard from. A lot of listeners would love to hear your interactions so far with Archie Miller and your time at the IU campus. I know you've been a handful of times to there, but also other, you know, schools that are interested, other campuses you have seen so far, and what your reaction has been to some of that.
So as far as, you know, like everybody else my age, I'm a kid. So just going to a college campus, is that by itself is amazing. But I've been to Indiana State. I went there and watched the game. Obviously, so my uncle played there, so he knows the coach very well, and he talks about, you know, what I would be on their team. And then went to Purdue. As far as went to a football game there, that was amazing. That was my first visit. Unofficial visit, I would say. Got to go around the campus. And then, like you said, Indiana, that was more recently. Same thing, you know, got to just walk on the campus, you know, go into the dorm, see how those were. And like I said, just the whole experience of going to a college campus is surreal to me. No matter what school it is, it's just for me to be able to do that, you know, me to have an opportunity that is amazing.
Indiana, Purdue, I know you've heard from some other Big Ten schools and other schools in general as well. Can you list a couple that have got your attention very early in this process that have contacted you?
So probably those schools. So Indiana State, Evansville, and then Purdue and IU, they've all contacted me on different occasions.
Trey Kaufman is our guest. Trey will be a junior at Silver Creek, and again, his recruiting and interest in him very much heating up in this summer can be a big opportunity for him as he gets ready for his junior year. What's next for you as far as things go? I know summer ball gives you the opportunity to play with your high school team and your AAU team, but then you'll get ready for a big junior season at Silver Creek. What's next for you guys at Silver Creek? You've won a state championship. Now that you come back, not only as an experienced player, but as someone that will be even more of a leader as a junior for this team, what's next for the Silver Creek team? What are you guys going to try to work on, try to instill to keep a great run going, a great thing going in Sellersburg?
Well, for us, I've just said the experience of going, you know, this year, it sets almost like a template for us to go next year. Obviously, we're missing our six seniors that'll be leaving, but at the same time, that's our goal, to go back to state. I said it'll be a different team, but at the same time, you know, the work starts right now. We talked about that last year. That was one of the coach's biggest things, is the work starts now, and we can't wait for in the season to get. You know, obviously you want to improve throughout the season, but that's going to be more team stuff. We got to do what we need to do to help the team. And for me, that's going to be, you know, almost everything. I need to be able to do everything on the basketball court, both, you know, physically and mentally. So whether it's leading the team, obviously scoring, passing, rebounding, everything I need to do to help the team get back to where it was.
One other thing about your Silver Creek team for next year, what's it like to play with a classmate who also is becoming quite a college prospect himself, someone that you've had the opportunity to play with since I believe you were a young kid, like Cooper Jacoby? I know you guys have a great relationship on and off the court. He's become recognized as one of the key players in that class as well in the state of Indiana, and it's going to be really interesting to see what type of college opportunities I think open for him over the next few years. What's that like to have a teammate in the same class with the history that you guys have, playing together on the court as much as you have, that is really, really good as well?
Yeah. I told Cooper this year, you know, obviously we want to be on the same team as much as we can. I wanted to play AAU with him. But we feel like it's mutual consensus that we feel like whenever we're on the court together, we can win any game. So obviously he's a very talented player. But at the same time, just for us, you know, knowing each other, what we're going to do on the basketball floor, that's the most amazing thing. For me, I know exactly when Cooper's going to cut, where he's going to be, all those different types of things. So we make each other better, and that's the biggest thing.
Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek is my guest. He's hearing from Archie Miller and the IU program, as well as a number of other Big Ten and Division I programs as well. Trey, you've done absolutely great today. I believe this is your first radio interview, and you've done outstanding. One final question for you before we let you go. Next month in June, it's very likely that we'll see a player from this area in Romeo Langford get drafted in the first round at some point in the NBA draft. He was a local guy from New Albany. I know you had a chance to follow him very closely, just a few years behind him, not as much as you might think. But what's your reaction like to seeing a local guy not only go to IU, but to go on to get drafted right from your backyard in New Albany?
Right. For me, it's more of a competitive thing. I want to be the best, you know, I want to be the best player ever. So to have somebody like that, that's, you know, he's going to go the first round in the NBA, and he's, you know, like you said, in our backyard, I mean, that's amazing. It's amazing for me to, you know, watch him play and, you know, watch him dominate firsthand at the high school level. So, you know, for me, I want to be better than that. I want to be better than, you know, anybody that's ever came from here. So it kind of sets, you know, a bar for what I have to be.
Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. Trey, outstanding both on and off the court. We appreciate your time today. And as your recruiting unfolds over the next few years, I hope to have many chats with you to update people across Southern Indiana and beyond that want to know what's going on with you. So thanks for the time, and we look forward to doing this with you every few months or so, catching up with you on how things are going.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. We'll be back with more. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday program. Craig Pearson, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune, is in studio with me as always on Wednesday as we talk through some local sports headlines. And I tell you what, Trey Kaufman in that last segment, I wasn't exactly sure what to expect. I mean, we know he's a great player that has a tremendously bright future ahead of him. It's going to be fun for the Southern Indiana basketball scene and for IU fans specifically to see if he chooses down the road to become a Hoosier. I think a scholarship offer is definitely something that will be forthcoming. But I guess even more than any of that, I'm blown away at how well-spoken he is. You probably have interviewed him long before I have on this program for coverage in the paper. But, wow, what an impressive young man.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. You know, he impresses you right away. Yeah, you don't always know what to expect from, like, a freshman or sophomore in high school. And, you know, Trey's always – you know, genuine with you when you're interviewing him and truly gives some thought to his answers and puts together, you know, some well thought out responses and that sort of thing. And I think he ranks in the top 10 or 15 in his class, if I remember correctly. And so he's definitely a good student and a smart young guy. And so it's definitely always a joy to talk to him.
And it sounds like his injury is improving. He hopes to be back on the court really soon, as he mentioned in that last segment. And for local fans that didn't get to see him last year, or maybe just saw him on TV in the state championship game, Silver Creek's going to be part of the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League, which begins here Thursday, May 30th is the first day. I don't believe Silver Creek varsity plays on that day, but we'll be giving you regular schedule updates on this program. If you miss basketball, at least from a less important, less structured kind of early preview for 19-20 season, you'll be able to see Trey and Silver Creek and a lot of the area teams go up against some of the good Louisville teams. Carmel's coming down for a day, Indianapolis North Central for a day, some other out-of-the-area teams, Marshall County, Kentucky, with Zion Harmon, that's been to five schools in 4 years, is expected to play this summer as well. So it's going to be fun, some really good games. And again, I know a couple people have asked about the schedule for that and want to see Trey and some other players of interest. That is forthcoming as well. You didn't know, Craig, when you took this job, we do basketball year-round here
yes,
on the Hoosier Report. Ford and then Southern Indiana.
That sounds awesome. I mean, we've got a crazy busy spring here, so I'm trying to stay focused on that, Matt, and you're trying to distract me with basketball here. But no, it's great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that out and seeing some of our local players and seeing who maybe some new faces are on some of our local teams and that sort of thing. See who's looking tough.
I think we mentioned this when you were with us last Wednesday. As the school year comes to a close, I know it gets busy for anybody that's in education or parents of students, especially if they're a senior. But I don't know that anybody's busier than you guys this week, because just thinking out loud here, you've got softball sectionals all throughout the week. You've got baseball sectionals that begin today in most places and are played through Memorial Day on Monday. You know, action, a lot of games here in a short amount of time. You had girls track regionals last night. You have more regionals in track and field tonight. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm missing some girls golf or something. So what a busy time. This is like a marathon to the finish line. The good news is when you get there, you're somewhat, for maybe a minute, can catch your breath.
It is. You mentioned golf. It's boys golf season, but there have been some boys golf matches, of course. So yeah, but no, it is. I think I told my wife this is like maybe the busiest week of the year because of all the convergence of these postseasons. I think she says, I thought that was basketball sectional week. Well, okay, you know, it's, but anyway, yeah, like you said, I mean, I was up in Bloomington last night. We had Jeffersonville placed third in that girls track regional, and Alea Winford is headed to state in the 100 and 200, where she's got a chance to be an all-state sprinter. And are obviously out, like you mentioned earlier in the show, New Albany had an historic night down in Evansville, and Providence will be playing for a regional tennis crown tonight to go into Saturday's semi-state. Floyd's huge win in softball, that was, you know, sorry I had to miss that one, but, you know, good to see them get a victory there and maybe have a chance to win a sectional title on Thursday. So it's, you know, a busy but fun week, and it's cool to see so many kids that have the potential to go on to the semi-state or state level and compete, and we look forward to covering those and bringing you guys lots of cool photos and videos and stories on our website.
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he is in studio with me as always on Wednesday. Tonight, it all gets started from a baseball perspective. The Big X will be in Bedford for all the 4A games that involve our local teams. And excited about that because Floyd Central has some work cut out for them this week, but I really feel like the Highlanders are capable not only of winning tonight, but maybe coming through the other side of the bracket, which would guarantee us, if they can do that, an all-local championship game on Monday. There's a lot of things to happen between now and then, but Floyd kind of gets it started for that sectional tonight. They take on Seymour.
I was talking to Jordan Morey up at the Seymour newspaper about Seymour, and he feels like you said, Floyd has a good chance to advance out of that. And, if they, like you said, they could be a dangerous team. I mean, they've had some inconsistency this year, but hey, they've got some standout pitchers, and get them in a groove in a game, and you never know what's going to happen there. I look forward to Saturday's matchup between New Albany and Jeff. That's going to be a lot of fun. I know New Albany got the best of them in that regular season matchup, but Jeff's been playing great baseball, and that's going to be a heck of a ball game. Looking forward to seeing how this sectional plays out, and that 3A sectional too. I mean, let's touch on that a little bit. We're looking at Providence and Silver Creek, and even Charlestown have all had great seasons, so that's going to be a lot of fun to see who can come out in that one.
You know, we talk the last couple weeks leading up to where we're at now, you know, who are the better teams in the area? Who has the best chance to win, at least locally from our immediate area, some of these upcoming baseball sectionals? And I think in each class you can find a couple, at least in some cases, maybe two or three that could really win their sectional this coming week, this coming weekend on Monday, Memorial Day. But I am not sure, Craig, as we sit here and think about what's going to unfold at Bedford here tonight and Saturday and, of course, Monday. I'm not sure there's a hotter team in the area right now, at least closing the season the way they have hitting especially, and their pitching has really come together than Jeffersonville. 19-6 is where they're at right now, heading into that meeting with New Albany, who's 22-6 on Saturday. But I'm not sure that anyone, at least at this moment, is hotter than what the Red Devils are heading into the sectional.
Yeah, you might be right. I mean, they've been getting that lineup is just a murderer's row. You know, I the last time I covered them, I think was against Floyd Central, and they kind of had to grind it out that day, but came through with a clutch home run, Devin Rivers, and it was a game where you can tell how dangerous that lineup is. You know, they hit the ball hard throughout the lineup, and it's just going to be a tough team to beat. They're also pretty sound on the field, and they've been getting good pitching from a lot of different guys. You know, they've got some depth there, so they're set up for some tournament success. If one guy's not on, you know, I think Coach Ellis can go to somebody else and find a way to have some success there.
Absolutely. Again, sectional baseball gets underway tonight, I think, at all of our local sectionals, and we'll be at Bedford. The game with Floyd and Seymour is scheduled for 8 o'clock. Let's hope it gets underway at 8 o'clock. We know how that goes when you're fighting newspaper deadlines, Craig, and you're a couple hours away from your hometown. You, especially during the week, you want to get back. But nonetheless, we'll be there, so if you can't make it, join us for the pitch-by-pitch coverage. Check in for the score. We'll be there Saturday afternoon for potentially both semifinals. We know we'll have New Albany and Jeff as well. And then, of course, the championship game on Monday. And all these sectionals will be featured in the News and Tribune at newsandtribune.com/sports. Obviously, normally later in the evening, once the games have concluded, you can go ahead and find game stories and other things about all the action. So Craig and his group are going to be very busy. Speaking of another off season, we think about the summer and you think, a little bit of a break. High school sports takes a pause. Well, we know that there's summer basketball. We know that there's other things going on. We know that the calendars with this year-round stuff gives a much shorter off season for at least for games. I mean, the football and the basketball and a lot of the sports are still active with workouts and training and conditioning and things in the summer. But one of the things that keeps you guys busy and really takes away from a break is the Netsby Awards that take place, which I've described them as this, a first-class high school sports awards program that's done right with music and all the effects. And whether you're a finalist in the category or you're the actual winner in that category, it is a special, special evening across the board in many, many sports, even some things outside of sports, to recognize great accomplishments from all the things that you guys cover on a daily basis throughout the school year. That is forthcoming, and over the next few weeks leading up to that award program, we are going to kind of break down and give Craig the opportunity to preview some of the various finalists in different sports. And I think this is really cool because on this program, first off, I'm not sure if anybody else talking high school sports that often on the radio. Second off, we definitely don't get beyond basketball and maybe a little baseball in the spring and football in the fall very often, but this will give an opportunity to get some names and some recognition as we talk about accomplishments and who's being considered as finalists for different sports awards each Wednesday when you're with us that maybe don't typically make the program. So I think up first we have wrestling. Craig, tell us the finalists for the Netsby Awards in wrestling from this past season.
Well, in wrestling, we have, honestly, we probably could have chosen at least four finalists. We had so many guys have great years, but, you know, we had to narrow it down to three. And Floyd Central has two of those. Gavin Allstott, who was a 113-pounder that went 44-6. And Gavin went to the state finals and won a couple matches and ended up fourth in the state. So very good finish for him. You know, he's one of three Floyd Central kids in the state finals. He had a phenomenal year. Enjoyed covering him, and so he was a kind of a easy choice as a finalist, to be honest. So I mean, he finished higher than anyone in the state, so he certainly got a good shot at winning this Wrestler of the Year award. His teammate Jonathan Kervin is a 145-pounder. You know, Jonathan's a lot of fun to watch wrestle. He's, you know, tall, athletic kid, you know, real strong, and just has, you know, he's just an intense competitor out there. So he was a joy to watch as well. He was also a state finalist, finished up 41-6 in sixth place in the state. You know, he ran into a kid that finished runner-up in the state from Indianapolis Cathedral, and that kind of derailed his run toward a state final match. And, you know, he's just, you know, good high-energy kid, fun to talk to. And Matt Munoz of Jeffersonville is our third finalist. He's a sophomore heavyweight, and he, you know, Matt had a huge year. You know, he was like won like 9 matches as a freshman and turned it around and learned from that season and just had a phenomenal sophomore year and won 39 matches. And, you know, when he I remember covering him at the semi-state and the look on his face when he advanced to the state finals was cool to see. He was pretty pumped up, and you know, he's not a real excitable kid, so it was good to see him get excited there and just have a great year. And, you know, he's got a chance to have 2 more really good wrestling seasons. So it's going to be, you know, the other state finalist we had was Jay Conway of Floyd Central. So Jay was injured part of the year, so he didn't quite have the win totals. But Jay is a guy that, you know, you could easily see. He's a kid that's got a chance to win a state title in the next few years, so he'll definitely have a chance to, you know, battle to get into this finalist group in the next couple of years.
Absolutely. The other sport today that we're going to give you the finalists for, and again, you can read about this as well in the News and Tribune, the sports section, and online at newsandtribune.com/sports, but we wanted to give all of these athletes a shout out on the air and let you know maybe who the finalists are for each sport. I think the next sport we have is swimming, girls swimming. Is that correct?
Yes. So in girls swimming, we had some state finalists as well. We had a couple from Floyd Central, and those are Lauren Thompson, who's a backstroke specialist, and Lauren. You know, she went to state in the.
Trying to get it to load there.
In the backstroke, yes. And
again, we're going through the News and Tribune SB, the Sports Performance Awards, giving you the finalists for some of the awards. We're going to do this every week, break down a couple of the different categories. Craig, when you've got the others up, feel free to jump in here.
Anyway, yeah, Lauren, sorry about that. Lauren. You know, she won 4 HHC conference championships. Just had an amazing career at Floyd Central. She will be a swimmer at IUPUI next year, and just had an excellent season. I think she finished what in the state? She was 12th in the backstroke in the state finals. So just great year there for her. Her teammate, Colleen Carey, a freestyle swimmer, distance swimmer, excuse me, Colleen, finished up 25th in the, 500 free, which was her best event. You know, she just had a really kind of a breakout senior year. And I think I remember Coach, talking about how he could see that coming, just the accumulation of training that she put together throughout her years. And she will also go to Indianapolis to compete in college at Butler. You know, just another great student and great athlete, Colleen Carey. Greer Manger of New Albany is a breaststroke specialist. She also had a strong career in the individual medley. So versatile swimmer, you know, she won the Hoosier Hills Conference in the breaststroke and won the sectional in the 100 breaststroke as well. So she went to the state meet, and I think she had her best performance at state after returning there from the previous year. And she's just you know, had a great career at New Albany. So, she's only a junior, and she'll have a chance to make this list again and surpass her accolades as a junior.
So, a look at the girls' swimming finalists, and also earlier, the wrestling finalists. These are for the News and Tribune Sports Performance Awards, better known as the NetSpies, which take place later this summer. You're going to hear some different names as we recognize some of these outstanding accomplishments from the 2018-19 high school season. Craig, a lot of work goes in just to getting the finalists together. Last week we talked some about your boys' basketball finalist. What a great group of players that was. And again, to compile everything, to interview the coaches and make sure you're headed down the right path, and then for a tough group to get together and have to pick some of these winners is very tough.
Yeah, we've got a committee of local sports enthusiasts, and we look forward to getting them together to kind of hash those out. We'll have the girls' basketball team here in this weekend, so watch for that. And then we'll start to lay out some of the spring sports as soon as possible as they're wrapping up their seasons, and we'll look forward to narrowing down those finalists. And we've obviously have a lot of great athletes to choose from this spring in baseball, softball, track, golf, and tennis. So that's going to be a challenge as well, but looking forward to it.
Greg Pearson, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. He's with us Wednesdays on the show. You can read more of Craig's work and his sports team's work at newsandtribune.com/sports. Craig, I'll see you along the baseball postseason trail. Look forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a fun one.
That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the program. Don't forget, we're back on Thursday. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with me. You know, we're going to talk IU basketball. We're going to get into some Romeo Langford stuff as the NBA draft draws closer with each day that passes, and take an updated look about where Romeo stands in some of the mocks that are out there, and really realistically where he might go. I've said 13 through 17. We'll see how that plays out. Thanks so much for being with us today. Again, we're back at 11 o'clock tomorrow. Don't forget, tonight at 8 o'clock or a few minutes before, Lee Kelly and I will be live from Bedford, Indiana for the 4A sectional. It'll be Floyd Central and Seymour. We'll have that for you right here on the Big X Sports Radio.